Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? Welcome to episode 43 of the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Preston Pugh, and I am joined by my best friend, Garrett Drake.
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty good, Garrett. How are you?
I am just fine. I gotta say something, Preston.
Say it.
This is so comfortable, what we're doing right now.
It is. I love it.
Yes. For all of our video watchers out there that watch our podcast, maybe you watch part of it, maybe you listen to the rest, maybe you strictly listen, maybe you strictly watch and listen. But for those of you that watch the videos,
I don't know anybody that would just watch us on mute.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's true. So you're either watching or listening, or you're just listening. But as you can see, I'll address the elephant in the room. There is no video this week, unfortunately. Jacob was out of town having a spring break adventure all the way down in the Florida Keys, enjoying his life, while Preston and I were working tirelessly in two different parts of the country, separate from each other. It was devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But normally we use Jacob's phone for the video, and he's unavailable. None of our phones, that's a weird way to say that. My phone or your phone does not have enough memory to shoot.
Neither of them.
Yes, thank you.
They have the ability. They are technologically advanced enough to shoot video.
Yes, they don't have the correct amount of memory.
Correct.
Enough memory to record more than like 15 mm-hmm. minutes.
Now,
pointless.
Some would say, hey, It's Obvious Gaming, maybe you should get your crap together and buy a freaking camera like the professionals you are.
Yeah.
And I would say to you, that is a very accurate thing to say, however, but that requires money.
It does. And it's funny because we'll drop like a ton of money on other things.
But man, that iPhone just does such a good job.
It does. It does a really good job. But yeah, this is just another sign where we either need a camera or I need to suck it up and upgrade my phone to a larger, I can't speak tonight. I was going to say a larger hard drive on my phone.
I wish it were that easy.
I need more memory desperately. It's just going to cost me a lot of money to break my contract in order to do that.
I shall never, phones shouldn't be less than like 50 gigs nowadays.
Right, just so, right out the gate.
Yeah, I have 16 on my phone, which is just like, I mean, you can buy flash drives with more memory than that for like $3.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe not that cheap, but you get what I'm saying. Memory is not expensive anymore.
It's not.
I feel like they're just restricting it on phones and just charging so much for it. I mean, to go to 16 from what, to 68 gigs, it's like, how much? You said like 400, you had to decide to buy a new phone?
Yeah, I called Sprint, and I know it's funny, I have Sprint, that's hilarious, but I called them and asked them about how much
unlimited data, son.
Yeah, and Ryan calls it unlimited nothing.
Yeah, Ryan is a coworker of ours.
Yes, he's pretty accurate in that statement. I rarely have service, and
I'm sure
drop
they
calls
throttle
constantly.
The crap out of it towards the end of the month too.
They might.
So
they just might.
I would bet money on that for sure.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least all the issues I experienced, but I called them. They're like, yeah, in order to upgrade your 16 gig to the 64 gig, it's going to cost you about, I think it was $475, and then obviously my monthly payment would also increase, which almost at this point, I'm so desperate for more memory that it's like a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
Man,
so
that is
I just,
a lot of money.
I
you
just
could buy
might
a
do it.
PSVR for
You're
that
right.
money.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's exciting. It's exciting news that I'm very thrilled to talk to you about this
Absolutely.
Evening.
Absolutely.
But it was a pretty solid week I spent in South Carolina with two friendly coworkers, and fortunately the job was smooth and easy, and we had a good
that's
time.
That's good.
And I got one more week to go in South Carolina. I'll be headed there
nice.
In about 8 hours. I'll be on the road towards South Carolina, so
excellent. I'll be snug in my bed.
Yes, you will.
Snoozing it up.
Yeah, tell us, because you were in Baltimore again.
I
went to South Carolina, but I want to hear about your week in Baltimore. I've heard the story, but please give us a very detailed explanation. Just don't leave anything out. Just lay it on us. What happened to you in Baltimore?
Well, I enjoy my job. I enjoy the AV life. It's I definitely could. I have complaints for sure. Every job has complaints, but
sure.
I would say I enjoy my job. I very much enjoy the people I work with for sure. So I'm up in Baltimore with Garrett was with me 2 weeks ago, but now it's just me and a good friend of ours, Paul. We're up there working and we're doing something I particularly am not the biggest fan of in this job, which in terms of Yes, we do audio video stuff, but this is the rigging aspect, which is actually hanging everything, which it's fine. It's whatever. I just would rather be like doing all the technicalities of everything within the audio racks and such. But so we're hanging all this stuff all week, and it's just very tedious and very long hours, you know, just working, eating very quickly, going back because we got to finish it before this week. But, you know, we're trying to make the best out of it, you know, as we can, you know, certainly getting our work done as fast as possible, but with a smile and cracking jokes along the way.
Absolutely.
So Wednesday into our third very grueling day of work, for some reason, I had the bright idea to go to a Pizza Hut buffet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why anybody would be excited for that, but for some reason, I had memories of a child going to a Pizza Hut buffet, and just like the way I thought about it in my head, it was probably way better than it actually was. So we walk in there, very old Pizza Hut, not a very broad selection, but we don't have a lot of time. We got to get this done before Thursday. It's currently Wednesday, so we got a full, like, you know, 1.5, you know, hardcore days ahead of us. So we're just like, whatever, let's eat. Me and my friend Paul sit down, have some pizza, take a slice of the sausage and pepperoni pizza. And I noticed Paul doesn't have sausage and pepperoni pizza, which you would assume, as a pizza lover, you would get the sausage and pepperoni.
Right. I would have been right there with you.
That's like an excellent, you know, thing to top a pie with.
Right.
So I grab a slice, sit down, and I go, where's your sausage pepperoni pizza? And he goes, yeah, I don't know. Pizza Hut sausage kind of weirds me out. It's like, okay, suit yourself, man. So I eat it, and I understood why he said that. There's a little taste to it. I'm like, okay. So we eat and we leave, and our waitress was like, wow, that was so fast. Because we were just, I don't know, we weren't feeling it in there. After we ate, we were kind of just like, I don't know about this. So we leave. About 2 hours later, I'm up in a lift hanging something, and I don't feel right. I feel a little woozy. So I'm like, whatever, I'm going to get through this. Well, currently the drill bit that I was using was going dull, and I couldn't get through this, drilling through this like metal beam to put this thing called a Sammy up there to hold these like light bars. So I'm like drilling through metal and nothing's happening. And get this, hopefully OSHA isn't listening,
right.
I was on a lift up in a ceiling with a ladder in the lift going up.
Which were you in the boom lift doing this?
I was in a boom lift.
Holy crap.
With what's the ladder? What's it called?
A specific ladder?
Yeah. Like the ladder you put up against a wall. What's the name of that?
Just like a normal ladder?
Yeah.
Not like I know what you mean.
Is it an A-frame?
Probably.
Maybe? I know there's
Do you refer to the ladders that go on a wall? Typically you refer to it as an extension ladder?
Yeah.
It wasn't an extension ladder.
So this thing, it can't even extend all the way.
Okay.
So it's like halfway extended and I'm in a lift like and the ladder like 4 steps up on this thing, drilling above my head into a metal stud. Yeah.
No hard hat on or anything.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was, and I wasn't doing this. This is all hypothetical.
Right, this is just
something you imagined.
The
job had to be done. I might have had to have done this. So
right, okay.
This is all a joke.
Okay.
So I might be up there doing this, and I just start sweating profusely.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't as bad as drilling through a metal beam with a correct stud. It's like... we don't do construction and stuff, so this is like as hardcore as we get for hanging stuff. And this isn't even really a big deal. Nothing in this job is really a big deal. It just takes long, and you just have to like think about what you're doing. So I shouldn't be sweating this much because it's not really that big of a deal. So I'm sweating profusely.
Yeah.
And I just get really woozy. And like I said, this drill bit isn't going through, so I'm getting frustrated. So finally, I'm just like, I can't do this. So I crawl down the ladder, and the minute my foot touches ground, it hits me.
Yeah.
Like slaps me across the face that I'm just going to throw up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I run to the family bathroom in this church we're in.
Yeah.
Giant bathroom. Did you go in there?
No, I never had the pleasure of entering
myself.
It's a
massive bathroom, which is why I frequently attended it.
Yeah.
Because I like having my space when I take care of business.
No,
I don't
certainly.
Like being
it's
bothered
very important.
By people coming in and the stalls and such.
Yeah.
This is just a bathroom to myself. So I basically chill in there for like 3 or 4 hours, coming out back and forth, just kind of walking around, and it hits me again, and I run back in there. So I'm just throwing up profusely, and it's awful, and it's obviously the Pizza Hut pizza. And I realized, I was like, why isn't Paul sick? Paul didn't eat the sausage like he warned me. Mm-hmm. Paul warned me about this.
Yeah.
And I still ate the sausage. So they take me back to the hotel room, and I'm just out. All night I'm puking.
Uh-huh.
The entire next day I just have chills, and I'm just lying on this hotel bed. Thank God this was a very nice hotel.
Yeah.
I at least I had room service to come bring me Sprites.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Waters and such, and a candy bar to...
Candy bar.
My voice kind of broke there. I heard somebody told me that eating a candy bar will kind of give you some sugar that you need. I don't know if that's true or not,
yeah.
But I ate the candy bar. I threw up the candy bar, which that looked very interesting in the toilet for
sure.
Oh,
I bet.
Man.
You're making me kind of feel gross listening to this.
Sorry, this is a little bit too TMI, but we're all...
Too TMI.
We're all men here. But
or
yeah,
at least most of us.
It was just awful, so I pretty much threw up until 7 o'clock in the morning the next day, and then I just sat in bed with the most hardcore headache of my entire life. Like, somebody took a sledgehammer and just bashed my skull in, and I was just laying there.
You didn't have any medicine?
So, no.
This is why I do not go on any trips without a bag full of every medicine you will ever need.
Yeah.
That's a shame I wasn't there
thinking.
With you
yeah.
for two
you
reasons.
Could have saved me. Well, you would have been in my position too, because
exactly.
you would have eaten the sausage pizza.
Yep. I would have also thrown up, which would have been devastating.
Mm-hmm.
So devastating, because I hate that. And
mm-hmm.
secondly, the only good thing is I would have had medicine on lockdown.
Yeah.
So I would have been technically prepared for it, but... I feel like God was looking out for me on that one, because
yeah.
that would have been devastating if both
me.
Of
was,
us were
I was
that
going
messed
through
up.
That for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I've yet to figure it out. But yeah, the next day I literally stayed in bed with the blinds shut,
yeah.
the lights off. I didn't turn on the TV.
Really?
I couldn't even look at my phone for too long because it made my head hurt so bad. So I literally just kind of fell asleep, woke up, fell asleep, stared at a wall.
Oh my
took
goodness.
A piss, came back, laid down. Then about 9 o'clock, my stomach started making just the most obscene noises because of how hungry I was.
Right.
So I was like, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to eat? Paul's working like ridiculous hours tonight. Like
yeah.
he was working until like 1 a.m. that night.
Uh-huh.
So I can't, and I, you know, I don't need to count on him. He's busy. I'm already putting this job into jeopardy because I'm sick. Thank goodness they actually finished everything.
Yeah.
Which I'm proud of my men for. But, so I call Domino's, and I'm like, back
Domino's?
Into the fray.
Oh, why would you? Why would this is the day
now,
after?
Yes.
What is wrong
now,
with you?
Listen, I had to eat
Domino's.
That you knew where we
How
were.
How could you even think of pizza after
you,
this?
Well, Domino's, they're not Domino's Pizza anymore, are they?
Are they not?
No, they're just called Domino's.
Really?
Because they got pasta. They got sandwiches.
That's interesting.
They got wings. So I ordered a chicken Alfredo pasta with no sauce. So essentially, it was grilled chicken and noodles.
Okay.
So I was like, that sounds really plain.
Okay.
I should be able to keep that down. And I ordered some breadsticks with no Parmesan cheese on it.
You were...
So it was basically
I can't believe you're telling me this. This
pasta.
Is the first time I've heard this.
So it gets here, and it's like 9 o'clock, and I'm starving.
In the morning?
No, 9 o'clock at
okay,
night.
Okay.
I haven't eaten all day. Uh-huh. I hadn't eaten since lunch the previous day.
Okay.
So I hadn't eaten for almost like over 30 something hours.
Yeah.
Nothing has been inside me besides a Hershey's chocolate bar.
Yeah.
So I'm starving. So I open the pasta and there's sauce all over it. So I'm like, whatever, I got to endure this. And I ate the pasta, not all of it, not even close to all of it.
Okay.
And I ate some breadsticks
mm-hmm.
and I kept it down and I felt fine and I had a nice bottle of Coca-Cola with it.
Wow.
And I watched some Dateline NBC later that night. And I went to bed, woke up, and hopped on a plane.
So you kept that food down?
I kept it down. I didn't throw up since then.
Wow.
Yeah, I won't go into too much detail, but South wasn't too well for me as well.
Oh, I bet.
Down south. We hopped on our airplane, and yeah, I got home fine, which we had a connect. I was in Baltimore. We had a connecting flight from Baltimore to Charlotte, then from Charlotte to Atlanta. And that was just, we did this last week and we're very confused. Like, why isn't there a direct flight? Cause we flew up with Delta
mm-hmm.
and then we get on American Airlines after that, American Airlines sucks. I'm just going to say it. It's awful.
What was wrong with it this time?
Their process of just, it's unorganized. It's so unorganized. When we fly Delta, it's not the best, but it's just like everything feels clean on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They, I mean, the systems for getting on the plane are the same with groups and, like, you know, the members are first and stuff. It's essentially the same there. I don't feel like it's as clean. It kind of feels dirty on the planes. It's just, like, I don't like it. Everything was very unorganized. They always tell you, like, they'll put one group in there. They're like, we need people to volunteer, check bags. We don't have enough space.
Right, yeah. And I'm like, that happens a lot.
There's plenty of space. Nobody's even on the plane yet, and you're just assuming there's no space.
Mm-hmm.
So people are pissed off about that, too, because then they just go, all right, group 4 and 5, give us your bags, and my watch. So they're walking up there cussing and stuff. So anyways, our flight's supposed to be at 3:33, and we're supposed to get into Charlotte around 5, and our flight from there is at 5:45.
Okay.
Our plane doesn't take
very
off.
Very specific times.
Our flight doesn't take off until, like, 4:15. So we're 45 minutes behind. They just took there had to be a plane change, so they're like, we're so sorry, like,
oh no,
you might not be able to make the flight, and there's no flight from Charlotte to Atlanta until the next day. So me and Paul are sitting there thinking, like, holy crap, we might have to rent a car and, like, drive 4 hours from Charlotte back to Atlanta airport and stuff. And we're just like, oh man, it'd be 5 hours to Atlanta airport. Yeah. It's 4 hours to where we are, and it's another hour past us to get there,
man.
So yeah, thank goodness. Well, we upgraded our seats to, like, one of the main cabins. Uh-huh. So we were way up there. So we got on first and we got off first.
Nice.
So, and we had, like, so much leg room. It was amazing.
I bet.
So, we got there the minute we got off the plane. We had to run through the terminals, and our plane was already boarded and everything. So we just hopped on and then took off. So we were very close. Then we landed in Atlanta. Bags took like 80 million years to get there. Stood there for at least like 45 minutes waiting on our bags. So TSA went through mine, and like all my clothes were like shoved in a corner, like so wrinkled and stuff. So
yeah,
just I've never had a good experience with American Airlines.
Right. That reminds me, I forgot that last time we flew American Airlines, my tool case came off the lift, burst open,
yeah, with
stuff hanging out of it and flying all over the place.
Man,
that's hilarious. Dude, speaking of too much information, I'll just piggyback off your story real quick. I have one TMI story that I feel like our friends from the community, the It's Obvious community, may or may not be able to handle this now that they've been with us, depending on how long you've been with us. If this is your first episode, I apologize. You're going to get to know us really fast. But so I was also doing the deed in the men's restroom at this building we were working in, and you know, I'm sitting there doing my business, browsing the interwebs, keeping myself entertained, and all of a sudden the truck driver of the company we're working for burst into the restroom, and you know, you can hear this guy coming from a mile away, so I know exactly who it is when he comes in the door. I don't say anything. Well, first problem is, he pulls a me. This is something I would do. He just kicks open the stall door that I'm in. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm looking at him. pants around my ankles and everything. He's like, sorry. And I just smiled. I was like, I was so humiliated. I was like, it happens. It's cool. Well, of course he isn't in there to just pee. He also has to take a dump. So this man pops a squat in the stall right next to me. Of course, not two more over, just right next to me. I kid you not, Preston sits down instantly. This is not an exaggeration. And I just hear, oh. And I couldn't help but laugh. I just started laughing, and I was like, nice. I swear I'm not exaggerating. He was like, yeah, he just kept farting, so I'm just trying to make conversation. I'm like, so where'd you come from today? He's like, I came from North Dakota today, and just for like 5 minutes, and I was so devastated at this point that like my sphincter just sealed, dude. I couldn't go. Like, everything was smooth. Everything was going great until this man walked in and just all hell broke loose. So I just sat there and calmly talked to him until he left. I mean, he just unleashed fury on this toilet, and he left before I did. And I just sat there and, like, contemplated everything that had happened. I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to tell anyone about what just happened, but here I am telling it to Lord knows how many people on the internet. So,
oh, my gosh. How come you didn't tell? This is, I would have just.
I told Ryan and JP.
Oh, okay. I thought this was at the place we were at.
No,
together.
No.
Okay, I was about to say.
Yeah,
okay.
This was in South Carolina this past week.
Oh,
but,
that's great.
So that's the one funny story that happened. But there's also one other funny one.
Did Ryan think that was hilarious?
Yeah, they thought it was pretty funny. Okay. But especially if you know who I'm talking about. I won't say his name on the podcast just for the sake of.
Do I know who he is?
Yeah, you've seen him plenty of times.
Okay.
I'll tell you after specifically in case you don't know.
Was he at Woodstock?
No, not those guys.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, but anyway, so this isn't even really a story. I just thought this was funny for some reason. So,
everybody, hang on. This is a gaming podcast.
It is. We're getting to it. This is my last quick story before we get into the gaming news this week. I just realized we've been talking about just throwing up and pooping for 20 minutes. Welcome to the It's Obvious podcast. But anyway, so. We were walking into our hotel, bags in hand, and Ryan, who's our coworker, had one of those rolly carts to put. He had like a lot of extra bags, so it was like a ton of extra tools and like his guitar and stuff, and blah 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 blah. So we threw it all in this big cart, and he had these styrofoam bowls in this like little baggie that I guess he. I asked him like, "What are the bowls for?" He's like, "Oh, my cereal." I was like, "Oh, that's cool." So he had these bowls on top of all of his bags on this rolly cart, and I walk into the hotel, and then JP's followed behind me, and all of a sudden Ryan stops in his tracks, and I turn around, and like his bowls had fallen off his cart. Now this old man next to him, like big, chunky old man, like bent over, probably needs like 8 canes to stay standing up, walks over slowly like a turtle. I think Ryan's just watching him this whole time. This is like a 30-second process, it felt like. So this old man walks over, leans down, picks up the styrofoam bowls, and all I hear is, he goes, "Can't forget your bowls." He hands him the bowls, which is the way he was like, "Can't forget your bowls." That was so funny for some reason, and it just made me laugh. But we should probably start talking about video games now.
Yeah, hang on, really quick. Did I tell you about getting into our hotel on Monday?
No.
Okay, so Monday, our flight was at 6-7, so I had to leave my house at like 4:30. It was already midnight. We had done the podcast on Sunday. I drove an hour home. By the time I got finished packing and everything, it was 2 a.m., and I had to leave in 2 hours.
Okay.
So I slept for 2 hours.
Oh, I forgot that happened to you.
Yeah, 2 hours, got on a plane, flew all the way to Baltimore, worked until like 6 or 7 that night. Me and Paul are just done. We are so physically tired. I've like never felt so tired in my life.
Yeah.
Stumble into the hotel, and they say there are no reservations.
Oh, no.
And the woman behind the counter is not the friendliest, so right. She's getting agitated that we're not on the list. We go into, like, the media room with all the computers, and we're texting our bosses, and they're... Because they booked through Expedia, and Expedia was calling the hotel, and they were getting mad. They were getting so mad at each other that the woman just hung up on Expedia.
No way.
We're waiting to get our rooms, and she just hangs up. And we're like, "What's going on?" She's like, "She was had a rude tone with me, so I hung up with her." And we're just like, "Oh, so just screw us, right? Yeah. Like, you're not gonna figure this out for us,
man."
So we get there like 6:30, and we finally get into our rooms around like 9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
So just sitting in a lobby.
That's
for that
blowing.
Long. Yeah. I bought the Sly Cooper collection for my Vita.
Yeah.
So I was playing through Sly 1 as I was sitting there.
Paul that
bought
sounds
a,
fun.
Paul bought a Vita.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He bought a Vita with Killzone Mercenary.
Wow.
Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Dang.
What else did he buy? Katamari Damacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think he bought one more game.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, he just for some reason was like, "I'm gonna Vita."
That's awesome.
So yeah, we didn't play together or anything, but right. We were just sitting there playing our Vita while we were waiting for this hotel to get itself situated. Then I finally went to bed, and I was like out so fast, it was obscene.
Yeah, what a week you had in Baltimore.
Yeah, what a week.
I'm glad you survived, and you're here once again on the It's Obvious podcast.
Absolutely. This is the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, the show where typically my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously. We already said the white elephant in the room is no video and no Jacob, essentially.
Okay. Now, what is a white elephant?
Did I say white elephant?
Yes. I didn't know if that differentiated from a regular elephant.
There's not. I think I had the Christmas game in my head.
Okay.
Because typically the only time I say elephant is when I'm referring to the game White Elephant.
I didn't even know that was a game.
You've never played White Elephant?
Never heard of it in my
White
life.
White Elephant is a game where everybody brings in a gift. It's supposed to be a gag
gift. Oh. I thought you were talking about a video game.
No.
Okay, then yes, I've heard of that.
Festive holiday.
I think I've just heard of it as a different name before.
Okay. I've only heard of it as White Elephant.
Right.
But yeah, we talk about video games, and this is our podcast. So yeah.
Welcome to it.
Welcome.
Preston, let's jump into this news.
Let's do it.
As we know, you, me, Jacob, and a majority of the world are playing The Division.
We're enjoying it. A large majority of the world.
Yes, it's
been the newest, fastest selling franchise. Well, new franchise, I think, ever. I think it beat Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to say.
Yeah, pretty wild. So you got to wonder. I wonder if Destiny played a small role in making that happen, because I feel like Destiny was the first step into really getting console gamers specifically a taste into what an online RPG could be like. And then they're like, man, I really like Destiny. I'm going to try Division now.
Yeah.
Obviously, Division on its own looks great, but that might have played a small role in it being so successful.
I think you could say that for sure.
Maybe. But anyway, Division update coming very soon. This is definitely necessary based upon what I've heard, what I've experienced, what you've kind of talked about as well. During a weekly announcement from Ubisoft regarding The Division, it was announced the first major update for the game would arrive next week, with details arriving very soon. While nothing else has been said about the update, we can probably assume it won't be a huge content drop. The first known content update... I keep pulling an Ace Ventura, I gotta learn to breathe. It's not scheduled to arrive until April. The new in-game content is called Incursions. In May, the Dark Zone is receiving an update in June. And the first major expansion will... the first major expansion will be released. It's likely that Ubisoft is releasing new gear and guns alongside some tweaks to the overall gameplay. I gotta breathe through my nose. There are also a few bugs that they are probably looking into, or looking to iron out to, including two... This text is so small. If you been sticking with us for a while, I usually read off an iPad, but my iPad screwed up, so I'm reading off my phone. It's very small, but... The Dark Zone is receiving an update, blah, 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 blah. Looking to iron out to show off explorable sections and expansions. Whatever. This is a really messed up paragraph I'm reading here. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Update coming. And people are speculating that's mostly going to just be like more weapons and skins and blah, 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 and fixing some bugs, but obviously no major... expansions.
The big thing I'm interested is the incursions. The April update, which is people are speculating is going to be like almost like the Division's raid almost.
Yeah.
Because it's lacking that. I actually beat the Division story, I guess you could say, today, and it gave me the little thing that pops up that says what the end game is.
Okay.
So I'm just supposed to play through missions on challenge and do daily missions and go through the Dark Zone. Which is all fine. I'm level 29, almost 30, so I can't even do the Challenger mission. So I'm probably just going to do a few side missions, get to level 30. And I don't really know what I'm going to do after that. The Division is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it to an extent, but there's something wrong with it.
What's that? Tell me.
Gameplay wise, it's not for it to be kind of, I don't even know how to explain this correctly, and this might not even be a problem at all on PC, but on the console version it doesn't feel as like precise, or there's just a few control fumblings in terms of the cover, the aiming sometimes, for it to be a game like Destiny. And let me elaborate more, because I'm probably not making any sense at this point. But Destiny's gameplay, you know, say what you will about that game, but the gameplay was super creamy, super tight. When you went through these raids, it was very easy to... There were different tasks and stuff for you to do, and it was just... It's like the gameplay was so tight, you could easily accomplish those tasks.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of, like, a raid involving the Division, like, people splitting off different ways and doing different things.
Right.
It just feels very clumsy to me.
Uh-huh.
It just, it's not as, like, I don't even know, I probably shouldn't have even gone off on this. Does that make any sense at all? It just, gameplay-wise, I'm just saying, I feel like it's not as polished as a game like this that requires the teamwork and stuff that all this challenge is going to take. Have
they speculated on what these incursions will occur as far as a raid goes at all?
I don't think so. I don't even know if it's a raid. People are just speculating that's what it is.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. I'm just saying that in my experience, the gameplay itself isn't as smooth as I would like it to be. I guess that's what I should have just said at the beginning. The aiming isn't that tight compared to other third-person shooters in the slightest. The cover's a little finicky. Mm-hmm. When people get close to you, it kind of gets weird. Like, yeah. I don't know if it's just because it's online due to the lag. Like, it's just kind of off to me. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I'm kind of just treating it as a single-player shooter RPG, and it's fun. I mean, I played a couple missions with people, and it's just fun. But I think at this point, I was way, way more into Destiny than I'm even into this.
Right.
Because all I wanted to do was play Destiny. I've played this game for about, I think, 30 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm already kind of like, all right, when's Dark Souls coming out?
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully for Ubisoft. Well, I don't even think Ubisoft would care that much because they've made so much money off the game that if everyone just stops playing it, they'll be like, well, at least we made that money.
They got so much content prepared to go up and stuff that they definitely want people hanging around. I mean, they want their own Destiny.
Definitely.
So,
yeah, no doubt. It's I'm sitting right under level 16 now. Like I said, I've enjoyed playing the game, like you were saying, but there hasn't been a distinct moment where I was like, man, that was really fun. Yeah. Like, I haven't been bored. There hasn't been a moment that I can, like, really think of that I was like, that's the moment when I knew I really, really enjoyed playing this game. And I'm mostly playing it purely for the fact that everyone else is playing it. I know you and Jacob are playing it. I know at some point we're going to want to do Dark Zone together and possibly the incursions, whatever they might be. And maybe the expansions they come out with will be really cool. We don't know. But it is interesting to speculate if these incursions are a raid, gameplay mechanics they could, just tasks that they could add that would make the gameplay more interesting, that would differentiate it from a raid versus a mission. Because the missions, in a way, in some small ways, kind of feel like a raid. Because you, like, go through all the different sections, take out all the enemies, and with the exception of having tasks in the mission, you just fight the boss at the end and you get the loot.
Yeah. Which I don't even know how you would do a raid like that in a game like this.
I was thinking that. It's like the only thing I've seen them do, at least in my experience so far, is like there'll be the missions where it's like, oh, you need to take this suitcase to a place and install it somewhere while you're covering your teammate. Yeah. That's like the only thing I can think of.
I think the Tom Clancy name has kind of withheld this game from being better than it is, because I think they're keeping like for instance the armor and stuff. There's no way to tell a difference between a level 30 and a level 1.
Right.
Like, because you don't really see, I mean, you see the armor, you see the book bags, but there's you don't, like, why isn't there like SWAT armor or like just really cool looking stuff? I feel like they can't do like shield plated and like really cool looking stuff because they're trying to keep it grounded, like for set sure. in realism and stuff like that. So I don't know if they could do a boss battle where like, oh, this boss is being powered by the generators and another team has to take out those while another guy's dealing with the adds, and then another one's having to traverse this thing, to then everybody at the end does damage on the boss and then his shields go back. I mean, you can't do that in a game like this. So I don't even really know. I mean, they're way more creative than I am, so they can probably come up with a way to do something like that, but maybe they're not going for a type of raid-like thing like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's got to be more in-game content than there is now.
Absolutely.
They're just replaying missions at this point at just a harder difficulty. So.
Yeah, definitely. Like we're saying, it sounds like we're being really negative, but some of the things I know we talked about that I really, really like about the game is just how smooth the process is of getting in and out of missions, grouping up with people, going in and out of the Dark Zone. Just silky smooth, and it's cool to be able to, even if you're just playing by yourself, to literally walk into wherever this area is, do the mission, and walk right out as if like there was just like a seamless transition in and out of missions,
that is
which is something that, way back in the day when we had our Destiny 2 discussion where we kind of talked about what we'd love to see in Destiny 2, that was one of the main things we talked about, just making it more seamless with less loading and stuff. So there's definitely a lot the game has done that has improved upon things that Destiny did in some ways, and there's definitely a lot of positive things about the game, even though right now we're kind of like, oh, there needs to be more to it. But overall, like we said, it's been fun, and we're just mostly anticipating, I wouldn't say excitedly anticipating, but moderately anticipating what may or may not come in the future. So
yeah, I mean, I might buy the DLCs and stuff, because I mean, I like enjoy playing through it. This is like definitely a podcast game for me, where I couldn't tell you anything that's going on in the story the entire time I've played this game. I've been listening to music or a podcast the entire time.
Right.
So I've skipped every cutscene. It's just I don't really want that out of this game. I just want to shoot stuff and get grind and get weapons and stuff. So
yeah,
that's just kind of what I'm getting out of it. And if you completely disregard anything I have to say about this game due to my moronic ramblings at the beginning of this, I don't feel that the gunplay is as tight as I'd like it to be. That was pretty much my... And the cover system's a little finicky. But, however, for some reason, in the middle of shooting, vibration turned off on my controller.
Really?
Yeah. And it felt like I could... It's so weird how just your controller vibrating changes everything.
It does.
It changed. And from that point on, I could aim immensely better.
Uh-huh. I do that in every shooter I play. I turn off the vibration.
Yeah, so I need to do that from now on, because it just felt way better.
Yeah.
So that made the controls better, in my opinion, after that. Still just getting in and out of cover is a little finicky for me and stuff. But, you know, which is my main point of... really being tactical and precise, and if these raids really require you to do, if there even are raids, like I said, I don't even know, but if there are things that require you very precise things and stuff, I have a feeling that would get a little bit annoying, you know, on console. If on PC, if you're running like 60 frames per second, everything's buttery smooth, that might not be a problem, but I'm just a stupid console peasant.
Yeah, so you and me both.
But yeah, we should move on, because for some reason I can't express my feelings for this game very well.
That's all right. Time will tell. Next on the list, during Sony's event at the Game Developers Conference, the PlayStation VR price and release window have been released for just $399. That's U.S. dollars we're talking about. We do live in America here. They have the other prices, but I know euros is a thing. But
it's €399 as well.
Yes, it is. But there's a couple other ones on there that I didn't recognize the symbol. I know there's pesos in the world. There's yen. One of them was probably yen.
Yeah.
But I didn't include those because I didn't want to be the idiot that doesn't know what the symbol is. So $399. You can get your hands on the new technology when it releases this October. While it is certainly more than we were expecting, this is still $200 cheaper than the Oculus Rift and $400 cheaper than HTC Vive. What do you think about that, price-wise?
Price-wise?
Yeah.
I believe... I'm not going to say it called it, because 80 million people have said, but it's around what I said. I said between $400 and $500.
Right. That's so, a solid price, man.
That's awesome. It's cheaper than... You can buy a PS4 and a Move whole setup, and it is around the same price as just the Vive.
Right.
So, it's not as powerful as either together, but I don't know. As long as the games work, and I think Sony even said, I don't know if you have it on there, that they're not going to allow... I think they pretty much said they're not going to allow any games on VR unless it's at least unless it's 60 frames.
Oh, really?
Like, they're just not even going to allow it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's just... You get nauseous at that point. You're just completely destroys the point of VR. So, yeah, it's... I think that's a very fair price. That's about what I thought it was going to be, so it's not really a surprise.
Right, yeah, and totally included in that price, which totally makes it even more worth it, is in addition to the VR headset, you'll receive a processor unit, connection cables, HDMI and USB access, USB cables, headphones, and a power supply. And by purchasing the Vive, you also gain access to the Playroom in VR for free. This will include 6 mini games to enjoy with your new headset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. That's a pretty solid package, all that for $400.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Now for $500, you get that, Move controllers, and a camera, and I believe you get a game called PlayStation VR Worlds.
Okay.
Which has, I don't know if you've seen the demos, it has the London heist. Did you ever see that? Where you're in a car shooting, and then you go to like a hotel and you're shooting and stuff there too. That was like one of the mini games they've been showing at like all these conferences and stuff.
Okay.
That's included in that bundle. And that's $499.
That's awesome.
So, and that goes on pre-sale this Tuesday, which is March 24th, I believe.
Right.
I think
2016.
It's 2016 at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
So like I told you, I'll be at my computer at around 9:50, card in hand, signed into my Amazon account, ready to click buy the second 10 hits.
Right. Yeah, I kind of want to do that. I think I'm going to try, but where I've been working in South Carolina, which is where I'll be at that time, Tuesday morning, I have literally no service. I can't even send a text while I'm there.
Well, I could be nice to you,
What's that?
And log into your Amazon account for you.
You could do that. Maybe I'll just text you my deets.
Okay. Because your cards and stuff should be on your account.
It is.
So I could literally just sign in as you
select that option.
Sign out.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
In addition to pricing and availability, Sony announced that 50 games will be available on PlayStation VR this year. That's a lot of games.
That is.
There are also more than 230 developers who are currently working with this device. These developers range from small indie companies to larger studios with top publishers. One of these developers is DICE, who has teamed up with Sony for a Star Wars Battlefront VR experience that will be exclusive to PlayStation VR.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel pretty excited. It's interesting because Battlefront seems to be the game that everyone's kind of like says it just burnt out, but I feel like this was definitely one way to revive it, because who doesn't want to
play? I know there's a demo going around called Something of Tatooine on HTC Vive. Have you seen it?
I have, yeah.
You control the lightsaber. What if mm-hmm. it was something like that with a Move controller?
That'd be cool. Of course, I hear it's funny when I watch that demo, all in the comments, people are like, oh, it's Kinect Star Wars 2.0 or something. It was funny. Kinect Star Wars was awful.
It was. Vive is actually freaking awesome, though. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it works way better, too.
Yeah, that's exciting, though, because if I can step into the world of Star Wars and look around and look, talk to R2-D2 and stuff, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. So I'm definitely excited to see how that's going to be. But the headset also features a cinematic mode. According to Sony, it lets users enjoy a variety of content in a large virtual screen.
Yes.
Compatible with this mode are standard PS4 games, videos, and 360-degree photos and videos that have been captured by omnidirectional cameras.
Yes.
So that's really gnarly.
I like that. That's what I'm saying, is like, we're at the point now where they can set it up to where you can like be at they're already doing this on Samsung VR.
Mm-hmm.
You can like sit courtside at a basketball game with that thing on.
Really?
And just look around.
That's amazing.
With those 3D cameras they have and stuff.
No way.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna go to the Hawks game tonight. You sit in your living room and just put on your VR headset and just... It's so funny. It's like exactly what you saw in the sci-fi movies in the 80s, like, and it's almost a reality.
Yeah. Now, the cinematic mode they're talking about, that interests me significantly, because I knew they had to do something to tie into every PS4 game to like get you to want to buy this thing even more. But if I can just slap that thing on, hop into Uncharted 4, and feel like I'm in just some massive room with a massive screen, being able to actually look around and play this game and pop my headphones on and like throw my phone in a corner, lock my door, and like have nothing bother me at all, like full vision and hearing are fully dedicated to Uncharted 4 and stuff.
Like, it sounds like kind of scary, but
that's
awesome.
That's what I want. Yeah. Imagine playing The Last of Us, and you're like in that super hardcore scene with spoilers with Ellie and Joel in that room and that like house out in the farm.
Right.
And he's like giving that stern talk to her and stuff, and she's
that
like,
game is incredible.
I know, she's like, I freaking like want you, and like pushes him and stuff, and your mom's like, dinner's ready. She's like screaming at you. Your dogs are like shitting and barking on the floor and stuff. It completely takes you out of all of that.
Yeah.
But you put that thing on, got your headphones on. Yeah, the world's dying around you, but all you're focused on is what's going on in the moment.
Right.
Yeah. Until your mom like kicks your door down and like rips your VR headset out of the wall and like grounds you. But
I hope that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah. But that's what I'm really excited about, that, because that just completely puts you in that, you know. So I'm
absolutely
very, very excited for that, for sure.
That's an incredible part of the game too. It's awesome.
That is. Game's great.
Yeah. Speaking of PS4 games, PSVR, PS4 in general, is that rumor floating around? I didn't know if it was confirmed or not. I was a little confused when I was reading it today. The PS4 upgrade that could potentially be coming.
It is a very, very much a rumor.
Okay.
As of now. So, nothing has been confirmed.
This is what I read today. PC gamers have always shown such pride, knowing that consoles will always be years behind in regards to graphical power. A new PS4 rumor may begin to change that. According to Kotaku, Sony is currently planning a new version of the PS4. This updated version will increase the graphical power and allow for games to run at 4K resolution, which is super, super exciting from what I've seen for 4K. Sony has allegedly told developers that this PS 4.5 or PS 4K, I like the sound of that, will not only support 4K for games, but it will also add additional processing power to enhance games on PlayStation VR, which is awesome. Currently, the PS4 can output 4K photos and videos, but not for games. So, they think if this is true, it's primarily going to be to support the improvement of VR. Imagine, it's one thing to play VR in 60 frames 1080p, but imagine playing it in 4K. That'd be nuts.
Well, I mean, the headset can't do 4K.
Right.
So, you're not going to be playing virtual reality in 4K.
That'd be a shame.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can do that on any of the VR headsets, because it's an OLED screen.
Mm-hmm. What you digging out there?
My wallet has hurt my butt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, that you have to be able to output that much, but the screen also has to be able to handle 4K, which that's going to significantly increase the price of virtual reality headsets. Not only do you have to have, you have to have 4K TV and stuff, able to do that. So it's not just as simple as like, oh, here's another PlayStation that does 4K.
It's a pretty huge investment.
Yeah, it's a big investment. I think this is a rumor.
It's been a rumor for a while. I feel like it's
come
and gone.
But I feel like they can release another PlayStation that might make PSVR better and make games run a little bit better. But the second they start doing the new Nintendo 3DS thing, I think they're going to start confusing a lot of people.
They are.
Because it's like the same thing you were having problems like with the new 3DS plays Super NES games, but the old one can't do that. You start doing that with PlayStation. No. The PlayStation 4.5 can only play this game, sir.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I bought my son the PS4 3 years ago.
Yeah,
Why can't it play this game? You're going to have a lot of people pissed off, and you're going to be confusing a lot of people.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I don't think Sony's going to do that. And they've sold like, you know, 30... almost 40 million of these things.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're just going to roll around and do another one. They might do another one that just improves these games and stuff. But the second they like cut off, you know, people that have this one and the other one, I think they're going to be hurting themselves. Because the thing that console gamers like is that you buy this thing and you come home and you stick it in your TV and for the...
You stick it in your TV.
in it. And for the life of this console, from day one, with your day one PlayStation, you can play the last game that comes out on PS4.
Yeah.
It's going to work on your day one PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So for like the 6 or 7 years this thing is out, you can play every single PS4 game. You don't have to worry about upgrading it. You don't have to worry about doing anything. You come home, you stick it in there, you stick the disc in, you play the game. Simple. It's done.
Yep.
That's what console people like. And I think if you start messing with that, you're going to confuse people. And you might start, I just don't think that's a good idea. I would be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
I would be fine with upgrading the console. Like, I don't think you could like upgrade it yourself, like trading it in and getting a more beefier version to play better games and stuff. I would be fine with that. And I feel like a lot of hardcore gamers that are invested, you know, in Sony and stuff would be fine with that. But I just think for the whole, I think you're just going to confuse people and maybe hurt yourself on that.
I am
interested in a future though where you can upgrade consoles, but then I think that just defeats the point of why people like consoles.
Exactly.
So,
of course, I mean, I guess if it's at your own discretion at that point where it's like, hey, we have all these upgrades, you can buy them yourself and install them yourself if you want.
Yeah.
At that point, it might be like, okay.
If it's like, hey, want to play Uncharted 4 at 60 frames per second, like 4K or something, you have to have this upgrade.
Yeah.
But hey, if you have the original PlayStation, you can still play this game. It's still great. It still looks good. It's at 30 frames, but you can still play it. It's good.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a problem with that. As long as you can play the game. So if they make, like, they don't need to be like, all right, bare minimum, this thing has to run on regular PlayStation.
Yeah.
If they're like, no, this thing has to run great on regular PlayStation, and if you have the upgraded PlayStation, it's going to run even better.
Right.
Then I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cut off people with the original PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
So if they can figure out a way for that to happen, then I think that's fine.
Yeah,
and if this is just strictly, this PlayStation supports better PlayStation VR, I think that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, because I'll see these headlines on Facebook and I'll just click on them and I'll see just what random people think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just losing their minds. Like, what the heck? I just bought this PlayStation for jumping to, you know, assumptions that things haven't been confirmed yet. And like, Sony's not, dumb, you know. I mean, they're not. I mean, they've done dumb things, but I don't think as a whole they're dumb. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine you got to wonder, even if they did make a slightly more powerful PlayStation to just kind of improve these games, like, I'd rather them just hold off and invest all that effort into making the next PlayStation.
I mean, they're already making the next PlayStation. Right. This console cycle isn't going to be as long as PS3. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's... things are moving so fast now.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot there's this law about technology that it improves double time every time. Like, something that takes... I don't know if I'm explaining this correctly.
I know exactly
Sorry.
What you mean. It's like something that took 10 years, the next upgrade to that's going to take 5.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like technology is constantly doubling itself. Mm-hmm. Like, in the next... people are already getting implants in their freaking wrists and stuff to, like, open doors and stuff. It's like, I mean, technology is getting nuts. I mean, we're talking about VR, the next stage now. I bet you in, like, 10 years, VR is going to be freaking insane. There's going to be augmented reality and stuff. So it's just a matter of time before just things start getting progressive. Crazier and crazier, and I think that's going to account for, like, consoles too. They're not going to last as long. People are going to want to be making, like, games to get, you know, they're going to be wanting a better and better and better and better. So I think that this console generation isn't going to be as long as the next one, and I'm not being wise at all. That's just what a lot
so
of
we can expect
think.
A PS5 and a next Xbox be announced at E3 2016 then, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, these consoles can't, I mean, yeah, you can see what, and I've said this a lot, but, like, if you're a good developer, you can work with what you have. Look at what Uncharted 4 looks like on the PS4. It looks freaking insane. Mm-hmm. Looks like the best console game that's ever existed graphical-wise. Did you hear about Quantum Break?
Oh, yeah, I heard that it's, like, running at, like, 720p
or something. It's 720p, and it's,
holy,
like,
crap.
People said it's going between 20 and 30 frames.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
That's not... I mean... Quantum Break, it looks good.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care if they're just like, oh, it's 7... The thing that's concerned me is people that are playtesting it say that actually it affects the game. It affects your aiming. The frame rate is slugging. That's bad.
Yeah, that's where it's
Xbox
a problem.
Is already running into that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So how long are they going to last?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to last fine. I mean, I feel like the developer, if they truly knew that, there would have been a way for them to fix that. So maybe there's a day one patch or something. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's inevitable that there's going to be an upgrade in the next, like, within the next 5 years for sure.
Yeah.
Which that might actually be on track. I don't know. Within the next 3 or 4 years, maybe then.
Yeah, that would make it like 8 or 9 years at that point.
Yeah, I mean, how has it been out 3 years already?
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah,
going
maybe
on
the next
four.
3 years, maybe this console generation will be like maybe six or seven. I don't know. I don't even remember how long the last one was.
I think it was like around 10-ish or something, wasn't it?
Really?
I think it was close to 10. At least 360 was close to 10.
Yeah, this one could possibly be maybe half the time.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
It'll be interesting to see for sure.
I don't know. You just don't want another new 3DS situation where people are just confused as crap to what's going on with your console.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the 3DS, there's like 8 different versions, so that already makes it complicated as it is.
Yeah.
But
craziness.
But yeah. Anywho.
Totally. Speaking of PlayStation 4, Uncharted 4 has officially gone gold, I think. At least it's finished.
It's gone gold.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I'm excited. I'm glad to know there's not going to be another delay.
Seriously.
Unless, like, the truck to my house, like, explodes or something when it's being delivered.
It'd be a terrible, terrible, unfortunate event.
I already don't trust my order. I ordered it through GameStop. I've never done that before. And I had to pay extra for me to get it day one, which seems kind of stupid.
So you didn't pre-order it? You ordered it? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I pre-ordered
it. Okay, I thought, because you made it sound like you ordered it online through GameStop
or
something. Okay.
I did online.
Did you pre-order it through a store that's near you online? Or is it like...
It's just their store.
Okay, so their online store, so it'll ship to your house?
Yes.
Okay, from GameStop.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did
that. Not from GameStop. From, like, their supplier.
Who's their supplier? This sounds
Sony?
Like 21 Jump Street right now.
Where does GameStop get their games from?
Okay, I was just so confused for a second.
No, it's like GameStop. It's like when you order something online from Walmart, it doesn't come from a Walmart store. It comes from a Walmart, gets their
crap.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So essentially that.
Because for some reason, I was still thinking Amazon the entire time. I was like, GameStop?
No, Amazon was sold out.
Okay.
So I had to go to GameStop and just order it on there. And
I see.
It's going to get there. Then they're like, oh, for you to get it day one, you got to pay like 30 extra bucks.
30 bucks?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I want it day one. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, okay. Sure, man.
So why don't you just go to the store and get it?
I don't know. I don't think GameStop really does the collector's editions in store anymore. Because
they're
like too many people pre-order them and don't pick them up and stuff. So, because I tried to get Metal Gear Solid 5 Collector's Edition. Thank God I didn't.
Yeah.
But it had, like, his arm and stuff, and they told me that. So they're like, all our big collector's editions now, you just have to order online.
Interesting.
So that's what I did.
Nice.
And I'm excited for it.
Hopefully, yeah, me too.
Nobody steals it off my porch, and hopefully it actually gets there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, too, for your sake.
Yeah, I trust Amazon way more than GameStop, and unfortunately, like I said, I couldn't order through them.
Yeah, I don't even know if I pre-ordered that yet. I don't think I have.
It's not a big deal.
No.
Pre-ordering things aren't a big deal anymore.
Not at all. Like, I went in to buy The Division, and it was like 1,000 copies, so it wasn't a big deal. But yeah, that's exciting. Apparently, Neil Druckmann had posted a picture on Twitter of him putting it into the PlayStation disc drive.
He also had a picture of a Blu-ray disc with it, like, written on it, like, final copy or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Like that. Yeah.
You gotta imagine it's gotta suck if they, like, finish the game, and they're like, all right, let's just play through it for fun since we finished our game. They get to, like, a crucial point in the story, and, like, Nathan Drake's just, like, bald or something, or he has, like, Sully's mustache or something by accident. They're like, no, no, it's, like, nothing they can, like, undo or update. They just have to, like, redo it again.
Or the guy prints the final copy, and he's like, look, everybody, I have it. And he, like, trips, and, like, it smashes and breaks, and then, like, all their, like, computer towers, like, domino over, and everything explodes.
They lose everything.
Yeah.
All we have is the multiplayer beta forever. They're like, sorry, guys, we just don't feel like doing it again. That would be awful.
Our game's delayed again.
Just give us a few more years.
Yeah, PS5 game, launch title.
What an absolute nightmare that
would
be.
Yeah, that game is going... I have a good feeling about that game. That game's going to be something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I would love to play it on my VR, but that'll be a couple months later down the road. But
it'll be an extra little treat after you play through the main story.
Absolutely.
So, Preston, we live in a very divided world. Everyone argues about everything, especially on the internet today. No one can agree on anything. Everyone is at each other's throats about who or what's better.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little star in the night sky that we all will look up to, and it'll give us hope that there's a brighter future ahead. And this little star has to do with Microsoft. Now, this star could be deceiving. It could be a star that died 1,000 years ago, and it just looks like it's still glowing, but apparently it's dead. That's what science tells us, at least.
Okay.
Tonight, that little star is Microsoft, because Microsoft announced plans for Rocket League cross-platform play between Xbox One and Windows 10. They say that the native support they're introducing could allow for additional online multiplayer networks. What are your thoughts on that?
I think Sony responded and said it's like they'll work with developers and stuff. But here's an issue I have with this that I was saying about the PlayStation 0.5 or 4.5. So I went on Facebook, which I don't know why the heck I do it.
it's a cesspool.
It is. And I see that this is trending.
Mm-hmm.
And people are tagging each other in it going like, dude, we'll finally be able to play COD with each other.
Yeah.
It's like, just nobody researches or cares about anything anymore. Because obviously that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's definitely not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe eventually, but not anytime soon, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Microsoft said, yeah, we're open to it, but Sony's got to be open to it. And based on what they said, they're just like, we'd be willing to talk to developers. That was just a very, like,
right,
whatever answer.
That sounds like a complicated situation to me.
Yeah, I mean, PlayStation's been doing that with PC since, like, PS2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could play Final Fantasy XI on PS2 with PC people.
Yeah.
So PlayStation's always been doing it,
mm-hmm,
for the most part. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting playing with people on other consoles.
Yeah, let's say that they're all in, like, yeah, we'll do it, and it's super easy. Let's just say that's how it went. Mm-hmm. Do you think that'd
be cool? Some developers have said it is easy.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know business-wise, like logistically, if there are... I don't know if it'll help sells. Like, if I have a PlayStation and you have an Xbox, and, like, one of us has to compromise to buy another console to play with each other, if they cut that out, that could potentially cost Microsoft selling another console or Sony selling another console.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on if I choose to get an Xbox or you choose to get a PlayStation. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, or they just want to I don't know. In a perfect world, yes, but mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know. It'd be cool, sure.
Yeah.
I also saw another guy say, "Well, I feel sorry for the Call of Duty PlayStation 4 players getting their ass kicked by Xboxers."
Yeah. Xboxers.
Xboxers.
Oh man. Dude,
then I wanted to be like, "You do realize the best Call of Duty players on the planet are on PlayStation 4 right now, because that's mm-hmm. who's like got the exclusivity with
right.
it." So, that's not true.
Yeah, well,
I sure showed him, didn't I?
Yeah, you totally did. I hope he hears this podcast.
Yeah.
Do you think, let's say this did happen,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in next year or it be 15 years from now,
mm-hmm.
do you think this would be the first steps in ending the console wars? Or do you think there would still, you know what, to a point, I almost feel like it'd be even more competitive, because there would just be kids arguing and be like, "I'm on Xbox and I just kicked your PlayStation ass" and stuff. Like, I feel like it might just amplify the wars.
I mean,
wars.
All console wars are just exclusives mm-hmm. and just somebody's mommy buying them a console, then they have to justify that they have the best console. So
right,
because
they can't afford the other one.
Exactly. I don't care. I have a lot of problems with I freaking have cursed at my Xbox before because mm-hmm. I don't like the way it's set up and stuff. I love PlayStation. I'm very much for her PlayStation, but mm-hmm. I'm not going to go on a console war tyrant about I don't know. It's just very immature. We talked about it. It's really immature. It's never going to end. It's been going on since Nintendo versus Sega.
Yeah.
It's never going to end. I have my opinions, but you can talk civilized about them.
Right.
Like, I'll say I prefer PlayStation any day over the week when it comes to the controller, when it comes to the UI, when it comes to the exclusives. I prefer PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I like Xbox, too. I bought an Xbox just to play Rise of the Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the crap out of Gears of War 4.
Yeah.
I'm going to play Quantum Break when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you can't say that without, I mean, you just, not a lot of people say that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can't just be that simple.
Uncharted 4 sucks ass because it's not on Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it goes, and that's how it's going to be till the ends of time, and that's how it has to be. There's never going to be just one console, because there needs to be competition. Because
mm-hmm.
If just imagine if there was one console. Imagine if Microsoft kept their DRM stuff. Imagine if I couldn't let you lend games. Imagine if they kept all their stuff and there wasn't another console. It's either that or PC.
Mm-hmm.
So like the PlayStation came in and they said, "We're not doing all that." So Microsoft had to counter, and then they took all their stuff away. So there's got to be people fighting against each other to improve everything.
Right.
I mean, that's just how businesses work. That's why there's not monopolies. That's why when McDonald's is up in their game, Burger King has got to up their game too. So it's just constantly going back and forth, and it's better for the consumer because we get to sit and choose, like, "I want that one, I want that one," due to this reasons, and they're constantly mm-hmm. making each other better. So, I mean, that's with everything that comes
system.
To competition. Yeah, it is beautiful. So, and you know what? People are always just going to be stupid and immature. Like I said, people were arguing Sega Genesis versus Super Nintendo and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
it's never going away. People just like to justify what they have.
Right.
Cars, clothes,
phones.
Mm-hmm. Apple sucks ass.
Eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Normal stuff like
that. Human
nature. Kangaroos.
Yeah.
Gears 4 beta just over the horizon, Preston.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, it is confirmed to be Gears of War 4,
yes.
by the way, which
I
found
the
out.
Cover of Game Informer.
Right. So, that's cool. Gears of War Studio, the Coalition, will kick off a multiplayer beta test for Gears of War 4 on April 18th. Microsoft announced, calling it an opportunity to help shape the multiplayer experience, which I always appreciate personally. The Gears of War 4 beta will be available in early access on April 18th to those who have played the Windows PC or Xbox One version of Gears of War Ultimate Edition. We have done so.
We have.
Xbox Live Gold members, I always think of Austin Powers. Groovy, baby. But Xbox Live Gold subscribers can access the beta starting April 24th. So essentially, Ultimate Edition owners get to play it almost an entire week more than regular Gold subscribers. So if you don't have Ultimate Edition already, you should get it now before the beta comes out. Hopefully, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it.
Now, the Coalition, I don't think, is developing the multiplayer.
Are they not?
I don't believe so.
Really?
I believe a company called Splash Damage.
Interesting.
Is doing the multiplayer. Now, that name sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar. Yeah, I was thinking that.
Let me look up what they do.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Gears while you look it up for a second. Gears of War is cool. I hope Gears of War 4 is fun. I hope the beta is exciting. I hope we truly do get to shape. What are you looking at? You're making me nervous. Lay it on me. Preston, you're scaring me.
Now, splash damage, they worked on the Ultimate Edition.
Okay.
Alongside the Coalition.
And the Ultimate Edition's great. And?
They worked on game. Did you ever hear of Brink?
Yes.
They did Brink.
That game tanked big time, didn't it?
Sucked.
Okay.
Now, okay, they worked on the remastered version.
Okay.
Now, okay, Gears of War 4 multiplayer co-developed by Brink Studio.
Okay.
So it's co-developed. So, okay. Well, they have a hand in it.
Okay.
I read somewhere that they were the only one doing it. Maybe they're not. Maybe they have a hand in it.
Okay.
But I thought that name sounded familiar. This is the first time looking it up. But yeah,
interesting.
Just random fact. I read that. And, okay. I thought that was interesting.
Is there anything Oh, crap. That scared me. I almost spilled that all in your lap. I have a habit of spilling drinks on this podcast. I was going to say, is there anything we should discuss before moving on? What would you like to see in Gears of War 4 multiplayer?
I would like them to back to the Division really quick.
All right.
One thing I really like about Division PvP, when it happens, which it only happened in the beta for me.
Yeah.
But when I was running down a street and it was a 4-on-4 fight, what are they called? The Turners.
Okay, I found out which group.
Rogue agents.
Okay.
The rogues against the normals.
Yeah.
It was very intense cover to cover firefight.
Yeah. It was awesome.
In Gears of War.
Amen, bro.
Cover to cover firefights.
You and I have been saying that since day one because that's one of the initial things. No, probably not.
Happen.
I don't think that'll ever happen. No. Which is weird because they pulled it off in the Division. It's because like you go, I think it's because you get killed so easily when you're out of cover that it's like you kind of have to take cover. I mean, to an extent, I almost wish they do that in Gears. Is like you're going to go down super fast if you're not in cover. I feel like that's truly that, and making the shotgun a power weapon, I think, are the two big things that
I would
make
like
people
that.
Utilize
I think
the cover
that
system.
Alone right there would change things up for the better.
It would.
Yeah.
Because I would love to have some Lancer battles in cover in Gears of War because the gameplay is so silky smooth and beautiful. It's a lot of fun, and you and I have been saying that since day one. We would love for it to truly embrace the fact that it's a cover-based third-person shooter, and it's one that launched all the third-person games we have today are heavily inspired by Gears of War because it was developed so well. So that definitely my two biggest hopes, obviously, are just making the shotgun a power weapon. They don't have to do that. I'd like to see that. I'd at least like to see the effect of that. I feel like a beta is the perfect opportunity to test the waters there and see how it goes. That, and as you said, just truly embracing that cover system. I mean, there might be people that are like, why am I dying so easily in Gears of War when I'm wearing all this armor and stuff? But I feel like if you're going to do a beta, you might as well just try new things. And if people hate it, then change it. That's pretty much what they're doing this beta for. You can help shape the development of the game. So
yeah. It's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, probably
they're
not.
You're going to have a gnasher on you at all times, rolling around, blowing people to pieces.
Yeah. I will admit, It's still fun, but there's always that part of me that wanted it to truly embrace.
I'm excited for the single player.
Oh, me too. Yeah. The story details we read last week are pretty interesting, so I'm excited to see where they take that series for sure. But this is actually my favorite news of the week.
Okay.
Getting to this. It's a Telltale's Batman game released some details. And based on these details, which I'm about to discuss a bit, it makes me incredibly excited. And dare I say, aside from Uncharted 4, this is my most anticipated game of the year. And I'll tell you why after reading this. Gotta catch my breath. Here we go. During a panel at South by Southwest, Telltale Games went into detail about what we can expect to see from the upcoming title. What makes this Batman game different is that you'll be spending a lot more time as Bruce Wayne. The developers compared this ratio to be similar to the Christopher Nolan movies. Even more intriguing is that you'll be able to choose whether to handle situations as Bruce Wayne or as Batman, which already sounds super cool to me. This seems like it will make the game much more diverse than the previous Telltale games. And little was revealed regards to the story. They did not share story details because I want to keep it under wraps, which I appreciate. And also, they said the only thing they really said about villains was that there's a variety of villains in the game, or at least a handful of villains.
Okay.
So, initial thoughts. They also likened the game to Wolf Among Us. Kind of gameplay style was similar to Wolf Among Us. And I think the art style is similar to that as well. But beyond story and gameplay details, the team also wanted details on their new technology. They have known about the issues some people have had with running their games and have Man, this is such small text. Hold on. I need like a microscope. Beyond story and gameplay details, the team also went into details on their new technology. They have known about the issues some people have had with running their games and have been hard at work creating new tech to improve their games. This will premiere in Batman and will be used in future Telltale games going forward, which I think, obviously, as we know, I haven't actually played any of their games. The Batman will be the first one I play, but all I've heard from all of their fans is that their games run pretty poorly.
Yeah.
So it's exciting not only that it's going to be a really cool, unique Batman experience, but the fact that they're implementing their new technology at the same time is cool. But I'll tell you why I'm so excited. It's because the Arkham games I love, as you know. Arkham City is my favorite game of all time. I love that game. Are you smiling at me for a specific reason over there?
I'm just listening to you talk.
Okay. Are you enjoying what I'm saying?
Yeah,
okay.
That's why I'm smiling.
All right. That's all right. Well, I love the Arkham games. And to a point, there comes a time in all the Arkham games where I'm like, I'm kind of tired of fighting guys every 5 seconds. Which I know you're Batman. You're supposed to kick guys' butts. You're supposed to do some detective stuff and call the night, essentially. As much as I love the Arkham games, as great as they are, there's sometimes I'm like, I'm kind of sick of fighting guys. This Telltale game is exciting to me because I've also not only always been interested in Batman, but I've also been interested in Bruce Wayne as a character and his psyche, per se. Mm-hmm. Like what goes on in his head and stuff, and just like the lifestyle he lives outside of being Batman is interesting to me because everyone, I mean, Batman fans know this. Bruce Wayne is the true costume. Like mm-hmm. Batman is who he is. Bruce Wayne is the costume he puts on every day, the act he puts on for the world. And I'm interested to see what day-to-day life would be like for Bruce Wayne dealing with whatever's going on in his nightlife as Batman, like how fighting a specific villain is like affecting his day-to-day life. And then having, like I said, you'll make decisions like, should I deal with this as Bruce Wayne or should I deal with it as Batman? And it said like, depending on certain decisions you make will shape what happens to certain villains, how they progress in the game. So I just think that sounds cool. I wouldn't complain if I didn't hit one single button to punch someone. If it's like, oh, choose this gameplay option to kick this guy in the teeth or something, sure. But if I don't fight a single guy in the game, I still feel like I'll thoroughly enjoy this because mm-hmm. that's why I really like the Batman comics because, yeah, there's some action and stuff. But there's always typically a lot of detective stuff. He's usually trying to solve what's been going on, and there's, like, really cool encounters like that. And I'd totally like to see a Batman game that's heavily centered around dialogue and choices. It just sounds really cool to me. So I feel like there's so much potential with this, and it's an original story they're writing, which is exciting, a story no one's ever heard about Batman. It's got a unique art style, and overall, it just sounds super intriguing to me, especially being a huge Batman fan. So this is easily, aside from Uncharted 4, my most anticipated game of the year, especially upon reading these details. Before, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio. You had my, or what does he say? It's you had my interest, but now you have my attention. Is that what he says?
I think so.
It's something like that. Yeah. But that it's like exactly like that scene from Django Unchained after I read that. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. I was going to get your thoughts on what you thought about all this.
I played one Telltale game, one part of one Telltale game.
Which would that be?
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. The ending surprised me. I guess my ending, I got surprised me. Yeah, I like Batman. Not as much as you, but I really like Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play it.
I'll play the crap out of it.
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
Yeah. It's about how I feel.
Cool.
Well, I can pretty much agree with your stuff. I kind of would like to play as, like you said, every Batman game ever. We just fly around as Batman, which is cool and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'd be cool to kind of like go into a party as Bruce Wayne and mm-hmm. like walking around with women on him and like
yeah.
talking to people and stuff like that. That'd be pretty mm-hmm. cool.
Absolutely.
So,
and that's what I liked about, I can't remember. Was it Blackgate that did, no, that's the prison. Mm-hmm. What was the developer that did Arkham Origins? Do you remember?
Oh,
WB
Montreal.
Okay.
WB Montreal.
Yeah. They,
working on that Superman game.
Yeah.
yeah.
They did some cool stuff that I really appreciated in the game that we've talked about plenty of times, like in our Batman Arkham Knight review. You guys can check that out at youtube.com/itsobviousgaming. In our review section, playlist is available. But one of the things I mentioned in their DLC they did for the Mr. Freeze DLC was that you started out as Bruce Wayne at a party.
Did you play that?
I didn't. I just watched it all on YouTube, and I was like enthralled by it because I always thought it'd be so cool. It was my dream as a kid. I would take my Batman cape everywhere I went in case bad guys came, and my parents fully supported it. They're like, you're Batman, it's cool. So I would take my cape everywhere, and just part of the fun to me was taking the costume on and off. I don't know why, that was always fun to me. And the fact in their DLC that you started out as Bruce Wayne at Wayne Manor and then Mr. Freeze and his goons attack, you have to like sneak out of your party and like sneak through your mansion, getting around guys, taking them out as stealth so they don't know Bruce Wayne's kicking their butts. And then you make your way all the way down to the Batcave and get your Mr. Freeze bat suit on and go fight him in Wayne Manor and stuff. I'm like, that is so cool, because I've always wanted to, like, I've always been, like I said, super interested in Batman, but just Bruce Wayne as a character is pretty fascinating to me. So I just think this game sounds very cool, and I'm very excited to see where they take it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's all I really had to say about Batman. I don't know if you had anything to add.
I do not.
Okay. Batman v Superman, less than a week away. How you feel?
I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
When's it come out? Thursday night?
Thursday night. I have a confession to make. I bought tickets for Casey and I on Friday.
Okay.
I didn't even ask you guys if you wanted tickets.
Yeah, screw you.
I don't know why.
Because you're a lousy friend.
I kind of am, yeah. I think it's because I'm still...
Bros before hoes, yeah. Garrett.
I failed miserably. But ultimately, it's because I spent so much money after taxes on various things that you know about that it's like I'm almost broke. And by broke, not really, but to a point where I should probably play it a little safe. As much as we've been traveling,
yeah,
it's expensive to travel, even when you get paid to do it. But regardless, I would love... I imagine we'll all see it this weekend. I mean, why would we not?
I would like to.
If you don't see it Friday, I'll go Saturday with you. How about that?
Sure.
I'll even come to you if I have to.
Wow. Would you come to me?
I would, yeah, honestly.
Okay. I don't think you've been to my nethers in a while.
I have not. I mean, I've been there for, like, the Georgia-Florida game every year, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually been in your house for a little while now.
Yeah, we're just not... It's not that we're just, like, not... kids anymore. There's just nothing to do anywhere.
Right. I think the only reason you come to my house is to do this stuff.
Pretty much. So. And then when I was dating somebody down here, I did that too. But ever since that ended, there's really no reason to come see you.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Yeah. It's like purely business now.
Yeah, it is.
Can you remember the last time we like just hung out? Just me and you? Yeah.
When we went and saw The Witch.
Okay, yeah, we were hanging out then.
That was very rare, though.
It was.
That was, like, the first time in a long time. Long time.
Yeah, we need to do that more often.
I agree.
Kind of makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's... We basically hang out anyway because we work... normally, we're working.
But it's never just us.
That's true. It's always you, me, and some other loser.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, that's weird to think about.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Preston and I essentially grew up together, and we spent weekends at each other's houses, just swapping houses, just spending the weekends playing video games.
Yep.
And so it led to this.
You watching me play video games.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mostly, yeah. I have probably watched
from
you play.
From The Bouncer to...
What was that game called? Darksiders or something? Not Darksiders.
Not Darksiders.
I remember Dark Sector.
From Bouncer to Dark Sector.
Most
to,
Zelda games.
Yeah. Splinter Cell.
That
was a good one. You just watched me play. What a fun game to watch somebody play.
Totally.
Splinter Cell.
It's just weird as though is that I got so used to it that I like enjoyed watching you play games. It's like what I look forward to.
I was
the
your
weekend.
Let's player.
You were. Yeah, you were the original Let's player, and I got to watch you in person. Yeah. I had court seats to those Let's plays.
Yeah.
But yeah, good times, man. I was going to say, if we see it, we should totally review it. I'd love to review it on this channel. I'd love to talk to our friends in I like calling them the It's Obvious community, because I hate being like, our viewers, the people that watch our videos. You're not just people to us. We've said it a million times.
You're not people at all.
You're not people. You're dogs. But, you know, we're very thankful for each and every one of you week in and week out for stopping by the podcast and sharing your thoughts on any topics we discuss. And we love connecting with you guys each and every week. And we truly can't thank you enough for reaching out to us every week. We greatly appreciate it. But I would love to hear your guys. I hate saying you guys's. I'd love to hear all your thoughts on Batman v Superman. If you do go see it opening weekend, we'd love to discuss it with you guys. I imagine we'll have a review up. But
absolutely.
Speaking of movie news, there's just two small little things I want to discuss to get your opinion on. The first one's pretty hilarious.
Okay.
So first of all, before I even give the details, what do you think of Indiana Jones 5? What do you think of that idea?
I sure do hope they have the same author from the fourth one.
Yeah,
the author of it.
Well,
the writer.
That's the funny part, is that Spielberg, which is hilarious, Spielberg, one of the most successful directors ever, teamed up with this guy, did Indy 4, sucked.
Yeah.
He's teaming up with him again.
Yeah.
This is the only explanation I can think of this. Spielberg knows what they did wrong in the fourth one, mm-hmm. and he goes to this man who, I meant to look up his IMDb, this writer's IMDb, or just his career in uh-huh. general to see if he's written anything before that mm-hmm. or after that that's been really good that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
That maybe he was like, hey, we know how we screwed up. Now let's make this right and make one last great Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford on board, and let's just make it great. You saw what Disney did with Star Wars. Now let's mm-hmm. do that with Indiana Jones and end it right and make up for our mistakes.
As long as they have Shia swinging on some vines.
Amen. Amen,
brother. Everything's all good.
That's the only thing they did right with the fourth one. That and the aliens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I'll read just comments, which I never actually expected people to actually say this, but they're like, Harrison's too old. Why didn't you just reboot it with a new actor?
He's really old.
It is pretty crazy. They got to do something really interesting to make it make sense, I think, at this point. Because, I mean, he was old in the fourth one.
Yeah.
And Han Solo, really it worked because he was a seasoned smuggler. And, he was, it worked in Star Wars. But Indy is a whole other feat because he's, has his whip where he swings from stuff.
I just don't want to see all these Harrison Ford movies he's been in where he's just like, he's so sick of playing the character that they just have to kill him off at the end of all of them just to end it all.
Yeah.
So he's just pretty much he dies in all his movies until he dies in real life.
Yeah.
And so he's just
He's the dead man.
Pretty much.
I imagine
the final points of his life, he's just dying in everything until it inevitably happens to him.
I already know how this movie's going to end. He's not going to die. He's going to ride off into the sunset or something, because we've already seen him die in Star Wars an awful death, so they're not going to kill him in Indiana Jones. He's going to retire somehow or something with some epic treasure or adventure. It'll end one of two ways. One, he's either retiring, it's go da, 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 da. It's gonna play the song, movie ends, everyone's happy, cool, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. Or it's gonna end with him seeing, oh, there's one last big adventure, and it's just gonna make it seem like Indiana Jones never stopped going on adventures till he died or something. That's gonna
be the Witcher 3 ending.
Exactly.
Well, depending on which one you got.
It's gonna be something like that.
How many times in this movie is he gonna look into the camera or before a fight and say, I'm too old for this?
Probably. No doubt.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's funny
because they wanted Shia to take it over.
Probably.
But yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking they were gonna wanna pass the reins down to Lil LaBeouf.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just went freaking crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't do this.
That's weird that he went so crazy. I mean, it's funny because I feel like he's sane enough that, I mean, he does a lot of viral campaign type things that keep him relevant, but I gotta wonder why he does such bizarre things when he genuinely is
he's
a very talented
now.
Actor. Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Who's he engaged to?
To his girlfriend.
Who's his girlfriend? Is anyone relevant?
She's an actor.
Is anyone that matters in the world?
She's an actor. She's she's really not that pretty. She's
That's very judgmental of you.
I'm sorry. I would never think she was an actor.
You mean just in the sense that Shia is such a successful, good-looking man that you'd expect him to be with some A-lister or something?
Yeah.
Well, true love has no limits. It can be anyone or anything, apparently.
Yes.
According to what the world says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's marrying a goat.
Oh, wow. That makes sense now.
I didn't know she was that attractive.
I didn't want to sound discriminative, but she's a goat. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But lastly, this, I'm just going to come out and say it, the Han Solo movie, spinoff movie they're doing, I already think it's a really dumb idea.
I do too.
I think it's silly.
I think Miles Teller would be good.
Okay. Well, he's not in the top three, apparently.
Oh, well, crap. I really liked him in Whiplash.
I get confused because I read so many different headlines you never know nowadays. I don't know if this is confirmed or if it's still
Tom Holland?
A rumor. No.
Okay.
Yeah. But, anyway, there's three finalists. I'm going to read them out to you and let me know what you think.
I'll let you know if I even know them.
I will. I have movies they've been in that you'll recognize. Right, may or may not recognize. Top three finalists for the Han Solo, or the part of Han Solo in the Han Solo spin-off movie. Exactly. The Han Solo movie. Solo spinoff anthology film.
Yes.
Which is silly to me. So we got, now I can't pronounce this guy's name correctly, but it's Eldon Enrich.
Okay.
He was in Hail Caesar. Did you see Hail Caesar? Now, me and Casey did. I don't even know how to describe to you who this guy is, but he was one of the best characters in the movie. He was hilarious. He was a great actor, but the thing is, he acted like a very, very goofy character in the movie. Mm-hmm. He had a very comedic role, and he played like a Southern cowboy type role. Now, I don't know how that would translate to Han Solo. I haven't seen him in enough. I haven't seen him in a role like Han Solo before, so he may or may not fit that role. I don't know. I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other two are a little easier to maybe envision. The next guy was Jack Reiner.
Okay.
Reiner.
Okay.
However you pronounce that. Yeah, he was in Transformers Age of Extinction. Did you see Age of Extinction?
No.
Okay, well.
Was he the hot chick's brother?
No. He was Mark Wahlberg's daughter in the movie. She had a boyfriend. He played her boyfriend. He's like a blonde guy. Have you seen this guy in the trailers or anything?
I saw her.
Yeah, she's a very attractive girl. She was also in Bates Motel, the TV show.
Oh, really?
Bates Motel is really good. Season 4, I think, is going on right now.
Wow. Yeah, My mom watched like the first season. I caught a few episodes.
I've seen all the seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of watching that.
Okay, cool.
And Daredevil. I'm only 30 minutes into the first episode of Daredevil, which is like
people
a week
are
late.
Spoiling stuff for that.
I'm glad I haven't seen any spoilers. Yeah. But last on the list, which if I had to pick any of these three guys, mm-hmm. I would go with this guy because I think he's awesome. Taron Egerton from Kingsman, the kid from Kingsman.
Mm.
He's awesome.
I like that.
Great actor, super engaging, very charismatic.
Yes.
He definitely had a similar attitude to Han Solo, his character did in Kingsman.
Now, why don't they just pick somebody none of us know? Because I really like that.
Me too.
I like that idea.
You know what's funny? Is that Disney supposedly auditioned over 2,500 actors for this role, and these are the top three finalists, according to the rumor that's been floating around. 2,500 actors.
How, if there's only 2,000 people on Earth?
Right. Yeah, that's confusing to me too. I don't know how they came up with 500 extra people. They're probably robots.
Probably.
Right. But yeah, I found that pretty interesting. They auditioned that many people and they came out of these top three finalists. So whatever qualities these actors have is what they're looking for this anthology flick for Han Solo, which is incredibly unnecessary in my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong, I hope it's great, not only for the sake of the name of Han Solo and for Harrison Ford's legacy, which it won't really affect him regardless, I don't think, but just for the sake of the character and the history and legacy of the character, and for the sake of Disney and Star Wars as a whole, why are they taking this risk when they could easily do some really cool, this is an idea that was floating around for a while, a bounty hunter heist movie led by Boba Fett and a gang of bounty hunters where they do a cool heist. That sounds way more interesting to me.
Like,
than,
bring it to a bank or something?
Not really a bank, but I can't remember what the original idea was. I think that was kind of spliced in with Rogue One. They're like, oh, they're going to steal the plans of the Death Star, but it was just ideas floating around.
And it was Boba Fett?
Apparently. Huh. But, or
was
they
it?
Could, huh?
Was it apparently Boba Fett?
That was just the rumor. None of this was confirmed. This was stuff floating around before that. I think they even confirmed that Rogue One was like the official first anthology movie coming out.
Gotcha.
But, I was going to say, just to kind of wrap up about that, was Han Solo, it's like, why? It's so unnecessary to me. Yeah. Like I said, I want it to be good. I hope it's good, but I just think it's unnecessary. But that's really the only bit of movie news that I felt was even relevant.
I want a Darth Vader prequel story. Like, where did he come from?
Right.
Who is he?
Like, who was he as a kid?
Yeah. Like, how did he get to be bad man?
Yeah. To be the bad man. And where did he get that really cool suit of armor?
Yeah.
With
where did he get that cool lightsaber from?
You mean his laser sword?
Yeah.
Did you know that George Lucas originally intended it to be called a laser sword?
I watched him, like, the creation of the lightsaber and him call it laser sword the entire
time. He snuck
time.
That term into Phantom Menace, do you remember?
Laser sword?
Yeah, when Anakin is looking at Qui-Gon, he's like, are you a Jedi? And he was like, a what? He's like, a Jedi. He's like, I saw your laser sword. I guess you can use that as an excuse for Anakin to say laser sword because he's this kid from Tatooine who's never seen a lightsaber in his life.
Yeah.
He's just heard the legends and he just assumes
sword. I just like how people assume that George Lucas just got so lucky and just pulled this out of his butt. Like, just all of this stuff. And he's just like trying to do something with it. And everybody's just like, no, it's okay. Like, we'll take it from here. Go away.
It's a very interesting situation for sure.
For sure.
But definitely came up with one of the greatest ideas of all time. But Preston, that's it for me tonight as far as news goes. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
Cool. That was a weird way to say that word.
Say that one more time.
Absolutely. That's what I did. On our way to get food tonight, I tried to say why, and I went like, Ray. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, I like went stupid for like, I went Ray. I was reading a text and I was going to say why, and I went Ray.
Ray.
So.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely no problem. This was the It's Obvious Gaming Podcast, a show where my two best friends and I get together every single week to discuss video games, obviously.
Obviously.
Well, I guess now video games and other subjects.
Absolutely.
If you liked that, please give us a like down below. Subscribe to www.com/YouTube. .com/It's Obvious Gaming.
Amen, brother.
Give us a like on facebook.com/It's Obvious Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
That Instagram.com. It's Obvious Gaming.
Yep. And Twitter.
if you go on Instagram on your browser.
Yeah.
And Twitter at It's Obvious Gaming.
Absolutely.
All the social medias besides MySpace, basically.
I don't know if you call it subscribe on iTunes, but
yeah.
Lord willing, you will hear this on iTunes at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on iTunes, I think. Subscribe.
Subscribe, I think.
Okay.
And yeah. Give us a 5-star rating.
If you think we deserve it.
We do.
Yeah. You deserve it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our viewers deserve a 5-star rating.
That's actually who I meant deserves it, not you.
Who?
Our viewers, not you. Yeah. And well, there are friends from the obvious community.
The obvious community. They're not people.
No. We love each and every one of you.
It's been a pleasure, guys.
As always.
We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.